Sometime in your life, you will need to know what it is you believe. And you want to know what it is you believe. We offer an affirmation of our faith each week at Daleville Christian Church, always from God's Word. This one from 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter, 13th and 14th verses. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as his first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's word for today is from 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter, and just two verses, the first and second verse, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the congregation, reminding us that when we read the letters in the Bible, we're only part of a conversation. We're getting one party of a two-party conversation. Just like you hear people talk on the phone in the store or on the street, you get to know maybe a few things about the conversation, but you don't have the whole conversation. You only hear one side. That's what these letters are. And in this case, the apostle is quoting something that the congregation wrote to him about when he says, "Now for the matters you wrote about. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman." The congregation apparently thought they heard that from the Apostle Paul, so he's going to say, well, we're going to talk about this. Verse 2, "But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband." Notice he didn't leave either sex out of that statement. And today's sermon is about sex. That usually means that you are immediately interested in the sermon, or some of you may say, well, this doesn't apply to me. May as well sit back and relax. Well, this topic concerns all of us, so I want everyone to listen. The topic concerns all of us in large part because we are Americans. I don't know a lot about other countries in the world, but I know the United States is one of the most messed up countries with regard to sex. Here's why this country is so messed up. We begin with a Bible fundamental. Sexual relations are about relationship. Sexual relations are about relationship. Even if you're not sure about the book of Genesis as a scientific journal, there are and always have been two sexes, male and female. The term sexual relations has the word relation in it. Even if someone doesn't care that there are two sexes, the term sexual relations has the word relation in it. Sexual relations are about relationships. But in America, we don't want sex to be about relationships. Americans do not want sex to be about relationships, and we see this every day. It's in the news. But before we look at the news, I pulled up an article that had this title, "The Real Reasons for Sex Before Marriage." And I thought, I'm preaching on this topic, aren't I? I better take a look. Well, the article was not helpful, and here's why. The article was talking about premarital sex. What many Americans want today is non-marital sex. Non-marital sex. Teenagers are not usually having premarital sex. They're having non-marital sex. They are not going to get married. And certainly not to each other. And that's true for opposite-sex couples and for same-sex couples. Most of them will not be getting married. What they are doing is having non-marital sex. The Bible believes that marital relationship, sexual relations be a part of a relationship. Okay, Americans are not interested in any relationship. Here's the news. These three articles all appeared in a newspaper published the same day, a couple of weeks ago. Headlines: retired man accused of molesting girls, minors. Four different accusers, and the charges also include charges of dissemination of matter harmful to minors. Local couple arrested on prostitution charges, engaging in prostitution and promoting prostitution. Friends, there's nothing relational in utilizing a prostitute. There is no relationship. Many of you may not know the name of a popular recording artist who goes by the name R. Kelly. He was arrested on federal charges that accuse him and members of his entourage of recruiting women and girls to engage in illegal sexual activity with the singer and paying them to cover up the crimes, including charges years ago on child pornography charges. Jeffrey Epstein has been charged with sex trafficking. Mr. Epstein pleaded guilty to prostitution charges 10 years ago and served 13 months in jail. However, the new charges reveal that Mr. Epstein enlisted underage girls and paid them to enlist other underage girls for the purposes of sex. Sex, but not relationships. We don't have to go too many weeks back into 2019 to read again about even more Roman Catholic clergy being named in sexual exploitation of children and young people. Charges that the church itself did not investigate or turn over to the police. Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, was arrested last February. Come to find out that the massage parlor had employees, if we may call them employees, who had been brought to the business by trafficking, by abduction, or false pretenses. Just last week, in a county in our state, a 60-year-old woman was convicted of human sex trafficking out of a business in a small town. The woman promised foreign women from China and Vietnam with either jobs or husbands. When they arrived in this country, she took their passports. She told them that they owed her money and must work in her massage parlors, which they were forced to do for 14 hours a day. Who knows if these women even knew English, let alone how to contact authorities or how to get out of the trap that was set for them. And although these reports are fairly recent, I could have updated this portion of the message, a report of another child molester in our area just last Wednesday, even yesterday, I believe. All of these news stories have to do with sex. None of these stories has anything to do with any human relationship of caring or love or devotion or responsibility. But there was always sex. Prostitution, pornography, what some refer to as the sex industry, many would like to call these activities a victimless crime, but they are not. They dehumanize and traumatize the victims, and I would argue they traumatize and dehumanize the perpetrators. I would make a case that the perpetrators are also dehumanized and abused in these non-relationship sexual encounters. This is one reason the perpetrators can continue to victimize others. Also, in many cases, the perpetrators were themselves victimized by other adults and so were traumatized and dehumanized before they became criminals themselves. And fortunately, at least for now, we in America have made much of this behavior a crime, as these behaviors should be crimes. I would remind you that in the ancient world, in Roman society, at the time of the New Testament's writing, sex with children was not a crime. Prostitution was not a crime. In the ancient world, a slave owner could prostitute his own slaves and thereby make money from their so-called labor or employment. That gives us a context for the Apostle Paul's instructions. Sex is good in a marriage. Sex is good as part of a relationship as God intended it to be. Read all of 1 Corinthians, and Paul is clear. There's nothing wrong with sex in marriage. In a few situations, which would sound strange to Americans, the Apostle Paul has to encourage the new Christians to be sure to make sex a part of their marital relationship. Why would Paul have to say that? Because some pagan philosophies saw the human body as evil. Pagan philosophers didn't believe in the book of Genesis where it says that God made all things good. Pagan philosophers, and except for Jews, no one believed that the body could be spiritual. Another reason why Jesus, as man and God, confused the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans. So if you believed in Paul's church and preaching that Jesus had come to save your soul and your body was holding you back, you might decide to drop sex out of the marriage altogether. This, indeed, some of the congregation that Paul started in Corinth, that's what some of them did. And Paul said, you are quite wrong in doing so. Some in the church in Corinth came to the opposite conclusion. They thought the body couldn't be redeemed, so you could do anything you wanted with it. Have sex all the time with anyone. It didn't affect your soul. And Paul said, now you're just being plain stupid. If two become one flesh, the flesh matters. It's important. Have sex and have it in the relationship of marriage. It is said that prostitution is the world's oldest profession. That can only mean that humans have been messing up the gift of sexual relations a long, long time. The Bible says the mess up was in the beginning. Genesis, the first book of the entire Bible, chapter 3, not too far into the book, I begin in verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The so-called sexual revolution in the 1960s and the 1970s in this country tried to teach us that sex is natural. Sex isn't natural, and here's why. The great theologians of the church, like St. Augustine and Martin Luther and John Calvin, would argue the last time that sex was natural was in the Garden of Eden. The last time that sex was natural was in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve were tossed out of the Garden of Eden, sex was never natural again. Think about it. The Bible reminds us that after Adam and Eve did wrong, they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed. Friends, how can you be ashamed when there are only two people in the world and one of them is your spouse? How can you be ashamed when you are the only one of your sex in existence? You're the only male human. You're the only female human. Adam and Eve couldn't make any comparisons. And the Bible tells us this, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. In some ways, that sentence does not make sense. But But it's clear the disobedience has produced a conflict within the human beings. Adam confesses to fear for no particular reason, having never disobeyed, and if he didn't believe the serpent that they wouldn't die eating of the fruit, what is Adam afraid of? But he says he's even afraid of his own nakedness. They know shame. Shame is an internal state of things. Ashamed of yourself means that you are within yourself divided, conflicted. We are conflicted. Welcome to living outside the Garden of Eden. Even sex, which the Bible clearly states is lawful and good in marriage, the shame will be present. We will not be comfortable with our own bodies. There are some exceptions for some people, which I can't fully explain. As you know, I grew up in the 1960s, and I also grew up in the 1970s, and I grew up some more in the 1980s, and I grew up some more in the 1990s, and so on. I hope I'm still growing. We as a society have now wanted to believe that we can have free sex without relationships, sex without boundaries, free love, love the one you're with, confusing love and sex. This idea is in our advertising. It's in the products we make available for sale. Some of you may be aware of certain newspaper advertisements that show up weekly. These ads often take up half the newspaper page. They are aimed at people age 50 and older, and for that reason alone, I hate these advertisements. I hate being the target of advertising because they have such a low opinion of me. I can't stop them from appearing in print, so I spend some time making fun of them, like this. Here's the headline of this newspaper article that is an advertisement. New $1.66 sex pill trips arousal trigger in men over 50. Excuse me? Since when has any American male needed an arousal trigger? Men already have arousal triggers. They're called women, right? It goes on to say that 114 clinical trials show, in addition to improving erection staying power, it builds muscle, boosts strength, and gives teenager-like energy. And I ask, isn't that dangerous? The reason the ads have some appeal is because of a little medical knowledge. I hesitate to call them advancements in medicine. If you're making a pill for a man to have sex, and they're now working on a pill for women, when in the man's natural condition it may seem impossible for him to engage in sex, then the product is about sex. The product is not about the relationship. The advertising even says so. It's in the medical technology that we're not interested in sexual relations as a part of a relationship. Medical technology that produces or claims to produce products that allow you to have sex without regard to any relationship. I mentioned this year that a Chinese scientist has changed the genetic structure of twin girls. Those girls are no one's genetic child. They're not related by any family history. I assume that someone is waiting to adopt them, but those twins are only distantly related to someone, not directly related. In America, we have trouble in families when the children are directly related, let alone when the children are not directly related to the parent or parents. So what can we do? What can we as a church and or the followers of Jesus do about the situation? Well, We want to continue to uphold the standard of sex in marriage as an important part of a marriage relationship, created by God to be good, intended for our good by a loving God. At the same time, remember that sexual relations are a gift. Sex is not a necessary part of any relationship. Our Lord Jesus walked this earth for over 30 years. Jesus loved all women, and Jesus had sex with none of them. Our Lord Jesus walked this earth for over 30 years, and our Lord Jesus loved all men, and Jesus had sex with none of them. And Jesus was a human being as well as God. Sex can be an important part of a marriage relationship, but the Bible does not know of any good sex or good sexual relationship outside of marriage. As much as sexual relations can do for a marriage, outside of marriage, sex is usually damaging. Damaging to relationships. All relationships. That's why we are called to be chaste in the church. A pastor's affair, any affair in a church, will damage the whole church. Doesn't matter if it's an affair within the church or an affair with someone outside the church, it will damage the whole church. Sexual relations are and were intended to be a part of a marriage relationship. Sexual relations are and were intended to be a part of every relationship? No. Sexual relations are and were intended to be a part of the marriage relationship. Amen.